This is Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatto. A bit later in the hour, water on the moon and a chat with Dean Kamen. But first, it was 30 years ago. Hard to believe. A simple but difficult puzzle took the world by storm. A cube with different colors on each of the six faces, and each face was subdivided into nine squares that could be rotated into different positions. I'm talking, of course, about Rubik's Cube. And the challenge of Rubik's Cube, of course, was to first you mix up all the colors because they come all aligned, and then you find a way to restore the colored squares to that correct place on the cube. And for a while in the 1980s, Rubik's Cube was everywhere. And the puzzle is still popular today with competitions to see who can solve the puzzle in the least amount of time. And oh, by the way, if you are feeling competitive, you'll need to crack the 10-second barrier. Ooh. Joining me now is the Cube's inventor, Professor Erno Rubik. He's normally based in Budapest, Hungary, but he's in Washington, D.C. today, receiving the USA Science and Engineering Festival's Lifetime Science Education Achievement Award there. He joins us from NPR Studios in Washington. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi.
Are you tired of talking about the Cube by now?
Oh, I don't think so. I find all the time something else to speak about. I'm really happy to share with people, but I think about the why is interesting, mm-hmm. why is useful, why is it's all the time is wondering how many people in and how many different ways they find the contact with the cube, and the cube is capable to generate emotions.
Tell us how you originated, how the idea popped into your head.
It was long time ago. It was more than 36 years ago. This 30th anniversary what we have now, it's only the introduction of the international market of the cube. I was here in New York in 1980. But before 6 years, I was thinking to generate something that is really three-dimensional and simple and capable to illustrate the rule of space and how we can structure elements moving in space. Mm-hmm. I was teaching at that time, and I was teaching more than 20 years in the university in Hungary, and I found it very useful to get the right tool to illustrate the ideas of design in space.
And why did you choose a cube, and why nine little boxes? Why not four? Those sorts of details.
I was looking for the simplest possibilities. So that's probably that is the most difficult task. What is as a designer, I found out that if you are thinking about generates a system. A system of the furniture, a system of building, you need to find out the simple elements which are capable to form a complicated system. And the cube is a very good example of that. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to find out a simpler one.
Is there a formula for solving the cube?
There are so many formulas. That's again the interesting parts of the cube. It was from the very beginning, it was a very difficult task for me because in that time there was no literature on the net. There was no net in that time yet.
Right.
And it was necessary to find it out independently. But right now you can find help, and that's why you can do the Cube initiative started several years ago to help the youth to learn. And we found that it's a very useful tool in the math class.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. You can also tweet us at SciFry and SCIFRI. Did you view this as an exercise in creativity, and what do you think the state of creativity and invention is today compared to 30 years ago?
I think creativity is a capability of human being. When we born, all of us has this capability. but part of us forget to use it. I think that's a very important task for the schools to keep that capability and help to get the skill on this. And the Cube is a very good example because the Cube is inspire people. And that's what you can see. The Cube inspired a new type of geometrical puzzles or mechanical puzzles, what we call twisty puzzles. And hundreds and thousands of people all around the world are working on different type of modifications and dreaming of new possibilities.
And what do you attribute, because I'm sure you did not anticipate such a great success for your Cube. What do you anticipate the reason was for that? Why was it so popular?
I'm very happy because of that, because it proves my idea that people are much more what usually we think about. They are really open. They are they would like to discover, and it's how can I say, and in the other hand they can enjoy what they are doing. So math in a classical sense, it's in the class, lots of kids have a distance from math, and because it's necessary to discover the possibility to play with math and to have fun with it. And there are so many different types, but we call it recreational math. So many good examples for that. And one of the greatest author of this is Mr. Gardner, for example. And you can find good books on it, and it is very good if you can give your kids the books and play with them on this.
Let me go to the phones, 1-800-998-2255. Joe in Tallahassee. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead.
I had two questions. One, how many possible starting combinations are there?
That's a very huge number, and it's at the very beginning, because the real number is too high. The on the box it was writing is over 3 million combination, but is only a very small fraction of the real number, but is 4 times 3 up multiplied on 19.
Four times.
So that's
the
a huge, huge, huge number. So that's it's very hard to imagine that size of number.
And the other one is, from a truly random start, what's the fewest number of moves it takes to solve it?
It was a very hard task for it's a mathematical question, and only in this year finalized the solution. That's the number is 20. So from any position, you can find 20 moves to get to the other one.
Right, Joe, thanks.
It took me a lot more than that.
Sure.
Mine is a doorstop. So.
Yes.
Thanks for calling, Joe. 1-800-998-2255. And I understand that there are people who can do this in under 10 seconds.
Yeah. These kids are really competitive, and they really have a hard wish to win, and they are practicing, and they are working on very hard, and it's amazing.
Yeah,
to see
well, you know, when you invented it, this was before the age of the internet and people sitting at home, you know, couch potatoing with their computers. They would be playing with a Rubik's Cube. Has the world changed enough that these manual tactile things are not in vogue so much?
I think it's the present situation is proved that it's all the time it is very important to keep the touch with the real world, to use our hands and to have the feelings of a form and the movement. So It's really interesting because it's more than three decades, and on the world there are so many different, so many things changed. The economy, the techniques, there was no mobile phone, for example, and many other things. But the feeling to succeed a difficult task and to have the result, it's the same level you can get some kind of happiness.
Is there another puzzle in your future, or are you
That's a continuous thing. I think I'm relieved the possibilities are endless.
So you're done making new puzzles?
Sure.
And you're leaving that up to other people?
Yeah,
I
love to share what I've got in my mind.
Can you play Rubik's Cube on the internet?
Yeah, sure.
You can turn it around and
you can. There are thousands of different sites, so there are really lots of people are involved and they like to share.
Do you ever go to the contests? Were they?
Yes.
Are you a judge?
No, not really. No, but I like to see the kids.
Can you do it under 10 seconds?
I'm sure not. It's not for my age.
All right. I want to thank you.
Yes,
thank you for
you
taking
much.
Time to be with us. And good luck to you and congratulations on your award there at the festival.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. That was quite interesting. We were talking with Erno Rubik. He is normally based in Budapest, Hungary. And he's in Washington receiving the USA Science and Engineering Festival's Lifetime Science Education Achievement Award there.